4 in 10 Texans polled say inflation is the most important issue to their Senate vote, with 35% saying they're falling behind financially. In the governor's race, incumbent Republican Greg Abbott is favored by 1 point over Democrat Gina Hinojosa. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Weeks after New York's Democratic governor caused controversy with an executive order blocking large artificial intelligence data centers, Oregon's Democratic governor takes action.
Governor Tina Kotek says she's ordering the state to withdraw the sale of 32 acres in Salem, Oregon, where a California company wants to build a controversial $5 billion data center. Verus, the Silicon Valley company behind the center, says it intends to proceed with the project anyway and called Kotek's actions disappointing.
That's Fox's Tanya J. Powers. On Wall Street, stock futures are rising ahead of the opening bell this hour, so there could be more gains added to yesterday's big Dow and NASDAQ surge. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:05 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got partly cloudy skies. It's 81 degrees here across the area. We're going to get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. First, PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash with injury. State Road 87 at Farrington in Milton. There's a roadblock. Use caution through that area. Also, a vehicle crash, Navarre Parkway at Coral Street in Navarre. They're saying the roadway is open. 437-1620 if you see anything. Traffic is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. A riddle brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? Progressive protects them both. It was an easy riddle. Learn more at progressive.com. Back to you.
Thank you very much, PJ. Navarre Beach's new fire chief moving quickly to address what he's calling a significant financial deficit. Jonathan Kanzig, pushing through a rate increase his first night on the job. He raised annual fees for residents by about $27. In a letter to property owners, Kanzig says the previous chief wasn't forthcoming about the district's deep financial issues. He also is asking the Santa Rosa County for an interest-free advance to help bridge the gap until that new tax revenue arrives later this year. Well, Gulf Shores is making some progress on its new pedestrian bridge connecting walkers and cyclists across the Intracoastal Waterway. The $24 million project features 75-foot towers and a glass floor so you can see down to the water below. That'll operate around the clock, and it's expected to open in early 2027. A missing sidewalk near Global Learning Academy makes even a short walk to the nearby Legion Field Park difficult for families. Global Learning Academy principal Lala Pierce says the patchwork of sidewalks through that neighborhood creates some real safety gaps.
It's definitely a challenge. So you get in certain areas where there have been some improvements and updates and there may be a sidewalk. So for example, if you're walking in front of the school, there's a sidewalk. But then as soon as you get a block or so north, there's not a sidewalk.
Pierce talked to Channel 3. Construction on the $1.2 million sidewalk project begins on August 10th and should take about 10 months to complete. It is 8:07. Let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3.
We are going to be dealing with about a 70% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today. Temperatures are warming up near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. For Saturday, 70% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 89. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Heading into Sunday, 90% chance of rain with a high near 88 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
81 in Pensacola, 82 in Gulf Breeze, 79 in Milton. Your next news at 8:30. Breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
When the news gets complicated, you need better questions.
It's just a fact that Tony Fauci, not the guy I'm talking with, but Tony Fauci, the person in people's mind, is now an impediment to public health because people won't listen to you.
You know, with all due respect, I just completely disagree with that premise because there are an awful lot of people who do listen, who do the right thing from a public health standpoint.
Hugh Hewitt. weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Happy Friday. Great to have you with us on this almost August day. I know it's scary to think about, but tomorrow's August 1st. Anyway, Julio Diaz is the host of Let's Go Pensacola. You can listen to it Saturdays at 4 o'clock here on News Radio. Also, the host and founder of the Pensacola Movie Club, where they get together and watch movies. Follow them on Facebook. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Spider-Man Brand New Day, I assume, is the big release today?
That is correct. Already $50 million into what is looking at possibly a billion or more. So I would say so.
So this is – how many Tom Holland Spider-Mans is this now?
So not accounting appearances in other movies.
Sure.
This is the fourth Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
So he now holds the live-action record. He has surpassed Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
Well, no, technically, I guess he ties Tobey Maguire since Tobey was in the last one.
But Tobey Maguire is not married to Kirsten Dunst, right?
No, Kirsten Dunst is married to Jesse Plemons. I don't think Tobey Maguire is married.
Hollands die all this, right?
I get what you're saying, but you know, Tobey Maguire is famously in the Leonardo DiCaprio school of let's date women that are half our age, so without ever getting married. So.
Gotcha. So how is the movie? Is it as good as they all are? Because they've all been fantastic, really, for a while.
This may be the best of Tom Holland's Spider-Man movies,
wow,
which is saying something because they've all been fantastic. I really have enjoyed every one of these movies, but this is they really took this to the next level. It's a new director coming in this time, Dustin Daniel Cretton, who did Shang-Chi, also did the absolutely fantastic Wonder Man series on Disney Plus, which Disney very, very, very stupidly canceled yesterday, the same day that he was, you know, basking in the glow of this, that could have drawn more people to watch this series. It's a fantastic series that Yahya Abdul-Mateen II just got an Emmy nomination for. I don't understand that wrong-headed decision, but he brings the same kind of visual style that he brought to the Shang-Chi movie, which is a different visual style than the Spider-Man movies are had, and it really, really works.
Okay.
Just some of the camera angles and some of the acrobatic level of the stunts is taken to a new level. So visually, it's fantastic. Now, that none of that matters. If you can have a movie that's pretty to look at, it doesn't mean anything. God knows we've had plenty of those. But this movie just really has a lot of heart, a lot of emotion. It's very moving. You're really dealing with somebody who's going through it, like the early 20s, workaholic, has no life outside of his job kind of situation. It's really kind of a metaphor for that.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you remember the previous Spider-Man movie, he ended with nobody remembering who he is and becoming Spider-Man full time.
Right.
So he's dealing with that. He's dealing with having nobody in his life. He's dealing with still, you know, the angst of having lost his friends and his loved ones.
So it's rich. It's not just an action. It's not just a superhero movie. It's a rich, complex, psychological, philosophical, reflective, whatever. All that. Okay.
Very much so. But it still has all the superhero stuff too, and it is very much tied to the Marvel universe, but it's not enslaved to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, you've got these other characters in it that we've seen other places. We know from the trailers that the Hulk is in it. We know from the trailers that the Punisher is in it.
I like that you're saying it that way, which is great.
And,
okay.
Well, and you know, one of the highlights of this movie is the weird friendship between Spider-Man and the Punisher in this movie. John Barrett.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
Together.
Such a clash of characters and philosophies.
Might be the best two-actor combination going right now between this and The Odyssey, because they had a lot of scenes together in The Odyssey as well. I want to see them together in more movies frequently.
Okay.
They play together so well. There's some other characters
there's one other one I want to get to before we run out of time, because I know you love the movie and people are going to go see it and it's going to be a billion-dollar movie, I would think.
Yeah.
But I Want Your Sex with Olivia Wilde.
Yeah, this is a dramedy from Greg Araki, who's kind of known for being an envelope pusher as far as the filmmaking that he does. That's also starring Cooper Hoffman, who's, of course, son of Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's a great actor in his own right. And she is his boss, and they get into a, let's just say a...
I've seen the cover art, and I would say this is a adult movie.
Yeah, let's say it's a reverse 50 Shades of Grey kind of situation, but quite comedically.
Okay. All right. What are you going to watch next week?
Not sure yet, but I want to mention two very good reviews on No Intersex. Well, both of these films extremely well reviewed. Great week to go to the movies.
Excellent. And next week, you're not sure yet?
Not sure yet, but we will let everybody know as soon as we do.
Very good. On Facebook, the Pensacola Movie Club. Of course, also listen tomorrow at 4 o'clock to Julio's production of... oh my God, my brain. Let's go, Pensacola.
Yeah.
I love being 55. It's the best thing ever, except when it isn't. Julio, as always, my friend, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Find out, speaking of 50 Shades of Grey, find out next in the Transgressors Memorial Service why Brother Andrew likes Dakota Johnson and Anne Hathaway. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injury. State Road 87 in Farrington and Milton. Roadblock there. Use caution. Also, a vehicle crash Navarre Parkway at Coral Street in Navarre. They're saying the roadway's open there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for $10? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
This is Pastor Carl Gallups of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not, regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You ever look at your bank account and think,
okay, that could be better?
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the U.S. House Education and Workforce Committee for its outrageous, slanderous, and blasphemous behavior in the recent hearing entitled Training Activists, Not Physicians, the Impact of DEI on Medical Schools. As you can already tell from the title, these Republican heretics have abused their power to undo the wonderful work being accomplished at the medical schools of UCLA, UC San Francisco, and the University of Illinois, where, of course, for years, we have been actively shaping a woke-focused curriculum for our doctors in training. Since so many of our core ideas about gender and sexuality depend on upending the entire medical establishment, naturally, we've been training activists for years at these and other medical schools. In the recent hearing, two members of the committee in particular engaged in what can only be described as blatant attacks on the core doctrines of our religion. First, it was Representative Mary Miller.
UCSF's classroom guide titled Framework for Gender and Sex Concepts in Teaching advises against using the term pregnant women. Instead, it says to use pregnant people. Who are pregnant people compared to pregnant women? Just curious.
Well, obviously they are pregnant men who are transgender men, but who retain the uterus they were born with. Some women have uteruses and some men have uteruses. How is this even hard to understand? And as Sam Hawgood, the UCSF chancellor, clearly explained.
Of course, the vast majority of pregnancies are in women, and I have absolutely no problem with using the word pregnant women. I use it myself.
And by vast majority, he clearly means that there are some pregnancies in men. Duh. And calling a man a woman just because he has a uterus would be insulting and false. But she persisted.
Myself.
Has a non-biological woman ever had a baby?
A transgender person can.
Yeah, exactly. Even though it's clear as day that a man having a uterus and getting pregnant is totally normal, even scientific, Miller just won't grasp this basic fact of biology, later pressing the same line of ignorance with UCLA Med School Dean Steve Dubinette.
Can someone have a uterus but not be a woman? Because it seems like your school is promoting that ridiculous idea.
It's not promoting a ridiculous idea, lady. It's teaching the basic truths of modern medicine. And if a U.S. Congress being refuses to learn the terminology of modern science, that's her problem. Then later in the hearing, Representative Virginia Fox began attacking other core pillars of wokeness with her rude and heterodox opinions.
One class session entitled, quote, Colonialism and the Role of Medicine and Race, end quote, included the theory that all capitalism is, quote, racial capitalism. Can you explain what racial capitalism is and why this theory was taught in a first-year medical school course?
Well, obviously, these young doctors must learn early on about the racism and white supremacy culture inherent in capitalism, as well as how the systems of oppression created by it produce disparate health outcomes for non-white and non-male citizens. That's just basic economics and political science. Just as obviously, this has to be taught early enough and often enough for it to sink in properly. And then she pivoted.
Do you believe the word obesity is a slur? Is the concept of obesity used to exact violence on fat people?
Well, of course it is. Because any word that hurts feelings or marginalizes people, especially on the basis of individual weight style, is unacceptable and contrary to good medicine. And just as naturally, these bigotries run deep, so they must be addressed in first-year medical courses to root them out as quickly as possible. What we find disappointing and sad is that these narrow-minded adherents of an outdated set of beliefs were allowed to badger and bully these fine paragons of modern medical thought with their confused, primitive, and offensive ideas. Utterly shameful. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, I want to address a somewhat complicated question. Parishioners have been asking me this week about the casting of Dakota Johnson for the role of Marilyn Monroe in a short film directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal. Of course, Dakota Johnson was the star of the family-unfriendly classic, 50 Shades of Grey, the movie series that almost single-handedly normalized bondage, dominance, and sadomasochistic sexuality. These movies not only brought some of the most lurid behaviors out of the dungeon and into the mainstream, but also added four new letters to the holy acronym string, now LGBTQIA2S++BDSM. So obviously, we love Dakota for her pioneering work to undermine traditional norms. But the controversy comes from the fact that Dakota Johnson's hair is a deep chocolate brown, whereas Marilyn Monroe was quite famously blonde. However, even a cursory review of Marilyn's face will remind everyone that she was, in fact, trans-hued, assigned brunette at birth, but later identified as a blonde with the help of modern hair-affirming therapy. And so the question has been posed whether it is horribly wrong for Dakota Johnson to pretend to be a blonde Marilyn, or whether it is wonderfully right for her to so perfectly epitomize Marilyn, even though she is not naturally trans-hued herself. Now, we know that you've all been well-trained to beware, treating race, gender, and culture as things that other people can demean through inappropriate and unlicensed use. Just as blackface, comedic transvestitism, and whites wearing ethnic clothing are wicked examples of racial, sexual, or cultural appropriation, but so too is hair color appropriation. As redheads who resent people who dye their hair red like to say, being ginger is not a choice, our carrot top is not your costume. Likewise, natural blondes often dislike the follicular appropriation by women who are biologically brunette. And since blonde is a minority hair color made by recessive genes, it's important that we protect the rights of natural blondes to represent their own kind in the arts. Just as straight people should not portray people of the rainbow, and normies should not portray persons with disabilities, so too, brunettes should not be allowed to take acting work away from real blondes by undergoing hair change operations, especially temporary ones. But again, I remind you that since Marilyn Monroe herself was trans trestle, hiring another trans trestle to portray her seems the most natural choice, especially since in her early years prior to making it big, Johnson herself was a blonde. Not quite the platinum of Marilyn Monroe, but certainly not her natural chestnut. So in the end, our guidance is simple. Because of Johnson's pioneering work as an ally of the holy acronym string, because the director of the film itself is none other than the rainbow-friendly icon Maggie Gyllenhaal, and because having a woman-identified brunette at birth portray a transpigmental blonde actually seems like the perfect choice for Marilyn, we will allow the casting of Dakota Johnson in a film that surely should have been titled 50 Shades of L'Oreal. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our loudest, wildest, most tambourinist, dance like no one is watchingest praise this week goes to It Girl and our collective's selection for the next actress to portray a U.S. president in a TV series, Anne Hathaway. In case you missed it, the Hath gave a pointed, brilliant, clear, and beautiful speech to the Human Rights Campaign annual dinner in 2018, which has recently resurfaced due to her casting in Christopher Nolan's monumentally revisionist masterwork, The Odyssey. In this speech, the Queen of Hathness said it all in one brilliant, slightly condensed soundbite.
With the exception of being a cisgender male, everything about how I was born has put me at the current center of a damaging and widely accepted myth. That myth is that gayness orbits around straightness, transgender orbits around cisgender, and that all races orbit around whiteness. And it is a myth that keeps money and power in the hands of the few instead of being invested in the lives of the free. I appreciate this community so much because it's where I learned to reject this myth. I appreciate this community because together we are not just going to question this myth, we are going to destroy it.
I mean, could we just sit for a moment with this truth bomb? Which is, of course, the only kind of bomb we support. Just bask in the glow of it all. Acknowledging her own privilege, exposing the straight white male supremacy culture at the heart of America's diseased identity, redefining the notions of straight and gay, transgender and cisgender, and BIPOC and white as co-equal instead of primary and derivative is just fantastic. Then calling this the dominant myth in our culture and finally promising to shatter it to pieces? Brava, Anne Hathaway. Brava. This may be one of the most elegant examples of Abernathy's 14th postulate on the manipulation of populations through public misspeaking. As you all have learned, the key is to say contradictory gibberish with a completely sincere tone and adamantly fabricated confidence, knowing that if you can only speak the nonsense with the right blend of passion and condescension, people will applaud you instead of, say, laughing at you. And if you watch her Hathiness's face, right at the end, she's basking in the glow of laudatory groupthink. There is a smirk as she finally realizes she's pulled it off. They bought it, and they loved her for it. As a side note, great work showing that the ultimate goal of our religion, which is, of course, we continue to deny is actually religion, is to tear down traditional values and replace them with our own. Remember what you learned in your intermediate woke-alite training. While you are not yet in power, demand that your views be tolerated. When you acquire power, demand that no other views be tolerated. Some people believe in the nonsense notion that traditional morality and progressive morality can coexist, but of course, that's just a misleading bit of doublespeak we say until we're in a position to, as the Hathiest of Haths herself hath said,
we are not just going to question this myth. We are going to destroy it.
Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
8:29 here on News Radio 92.3. I still think my favorite is the 50 Shades of L'Oreal.
That's pretty good.
PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injury. State Road 87 at Farrington and Milton. There's a roadblock there. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
I do want to make an announcement just so people are aware. Michelle Salzman is in the house, so be prepared for what's coming next.
You never know because I'm not counting to two.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Anthropic says its Claude AI system has now breached three organizations during cybersecurity testing. The admission comes after OpenAI, of course, recently revealed that one of their unreleased AI models broke into an online learning platform during testing. Now Anthropic confirms that three organizations were also targeted by its AI models.
Great. What could be wrong with any of that?
We're training everything's AI hackers. Fine. It's great.
Everything's fine. All your smart gear is great. Keep going.
The state of New York is taking prediction market Kalshi to court in a release early this morning. The office of their governor, Kathy Hochul, and state attorney general said they're suing and called Kalshi an illegal gambling operation.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I mentioned a moment ago, but we have both Michelle and Philip Salzman here. We're going to talk about AI data centers. AI data centers. We're going to have a good time.
I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump takes his cabinet to Camp David for marathon meetings in the woods. Last time he went was for Operation Midnight Hammer against Iran, but today a different peace deal is also launched.
Hamas appears ready, or at least willing, to lay down their arms as long as Israel agrees to finally leave the Gaza Strip. President Trump has announced this agreement is a critical step towards Gaza finally being governed by a new Palestinian government that will work closely with the Board of Peace to help the Palestinian people.
Fox's Peter Ducey. 60,000 migrants and counting pouring onto the shores of Ceuta, Spain from Morocco, mostly men looking jubilant. After the three-mile swim, Spain mobilized the military. After its new amnesty plan attracted the migrants, the EU in shock. President Trump says, remember that picture, telling Fox, that's going to be us in 3 years if the Democrats get in. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 82 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies, and we'll check our forecast from Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. A $1.2 million sidewalk project is coming to Pensacola's west side. It's aimed at making walking safer for students and for families. Global Learning Academy principal Lala Pierce says some kids currently walk longer routes just to find a safe place to cross.
I can think of one dad and child who walk to school every morning, and they would actually travel further north up in the neighborhood on the east side of Pace to then be able to come to where there was a crosswalk to come farther down on this side to be safe.
And Pierce talked to Channel 3. Once the project is finished, that family won't have to take that longer route anymore. Work starts August 10th. It's expected to take right around 10 months to complete. The University of West Florida is hosting a two-day symposium on citizenship and economic freedom as the country marks its 250th anniversary. America at 250 runs August 21st and 22nd. It starts at the Museum of Commerce, continues at the UWF Conference Center. Businessman Robert Luddy will headline as the keynote speaker for that event, and he'll be joined by UWF President Manny Diaz Jr. and other scholars and area business leaders. Two people were hurt in a motorcycle crash yesterday. Happened on I-110 south of Brent Lane at about 9:30 last night. Both people were taken to the hospital as trauma alerts. We don't have an update on their condition as of yet. 25-year-old Pensacola man facing multiple charges. And this is after an investigation into child exploitation material. The FDLE says that Bailey Hurst faces 20 counts related to possessing child sexual abuse material following a tip from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Investigators traced files uploaded to a Google account back to Hearst's home, where agents say they seized electronic devices during a search warrant that was served last week. He's being held without bond. Well, in Gulf Shores, they're making some progress on that pedestrian bridge, which will connect walkers and cyclists across the Intracoastal Waterway. It's a $24 million project with 75-foot towers and a structural glass floor. So as you cross the bridge, you can see the water down below. Businesses are expecting that to boost their foot traffic. The bridge will open in early 2027. Well, the Navy says the Blue Angels pilot that sat out of the Pensacola Beach Air Show wasn't really being punished. Lieutenant Chris Hubin flew an unusually low pass. That was during the Breakfast with the Blues event on the 15th. Kicked up some sand and umbrellas. Well, according to the News Journal today, the Blue Angels say they pulled him from the remaining shows only as a proactive safety step while they were conducting a review. He is expected to be back in the skies in the team's sixth jet formation at their show in Seattle. It's 8:35 at News Radio, and PJ has our traffic on the five.
Travis brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. Vehicle crash with injuries, State Road 87 at Farrington and Milton. Roadblock there. Also a vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock, Pensacola Boulevard at Van Pelt. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be dealing with about a 70% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today. Temperatures are warming up near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. For Saturday, 70% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 89. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 79. Heading into Sunday, 90% chance of rain with a high near 88 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 82 degrees across the area with partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. News Radio 92.3. And your money now. Looking at our markets here at the opening bell, the markets are up. The Dow's up a little over 0.25% today at 52,389.22. S&P 500 up over 0.5% at 74.87.21. The NASDAQ up 1.25% today, 25,432.659. That 10-year bond rate also up. It's at 4.71%. Gold prices are down $62 at $4,098.60. Right now, silver down $1.33 at $57.69. Bitcoin is down just under $1,200 at $63,580.34. Now, looking at those oil prices, West Texas Intermediate is up $2.19, trading at $85.78 a barrel this morning. Brent crude up $1.58 at $90.61 per barrel. Checking AAA's fuel prices today, the national average for a gallon of regular is up. It's at $4.10 this morning. In Escambia County, seeing average gas prices about $3.87, $3.88 in Santa Rosa County, $3.84, a little bit cheaper there in Okaloosa County this morning. And the state of New York taking prediction market Kalshi to court. In a press release this morning, the office of Governor Kathy Hochul and State Attorney General Letitia James announced the suit, saying Kalshi is an illegal gambling operation. That after a pair of federal court rulings this week against the online prediction market that cleared the way for that lawsuit. A new Forbes list says Joe Rogan is the top paid podcaster of 2026. On Thursday, Forbes released its list of the highest paid podcasters from June of last year until June of 2026. Rogan came out on top, making an estimated $82 million. And a film producer is suing Netflix for $105 million after the company lost an unencrypted copy of his World War II film starring Nicolas Cage. Simon Afram wrote the script for Fortitude and spent 7 years and $45 million to bring it to the screen. The complaint states that an associate producer dropped off a digital cinema package at Netflix headquarters in June so that the company could consider whether to buy the rights to the project. When the producer tried to retrieve the film, the streamer became unresponsive for more than a week and then acknowledged that it had been stolen. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
We're doing a one-hour town hall on the radio here with Mayor D.C. Reeves. Grand Hotel, where are we at?
Well, actually, I think I have a meeting this week with another potential buyer. And I always point this out. The government does not control the future of someone else's property. This property is not owned by the city. Mm-hmm. It is up to code. They continue to air condition the building, in fact. They're not even required to do that.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
The hip hop, the hip hop, you don't stop. Rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
All right, we have a fun day ahead. This is going to be interesting. For the wrap, it's always have a couple of friends in studio and we just talk about the issues of the day or whatever's on our minds. In this case, it's first for both, actually. First, we have representative, state representative, and former head of the Escambia County PTA. I like to always remember that, where she came from. and a veteran. Michelle Salzman is in the house.
Go so, Army.
Yeah. So whenever we have Michelle Salzman around, we always like to remind people.
March safe from Michelle Salzman today.
I have great sound clips for her because when she filled in for me that one time and had a blast. And I don't get to use your Stink Eye John clip because John's not here anymore, but I did love that one too. Of course, the one that we use the most.
What the Florida?
And then possibly my other favorite.
Oh, you want to do Traffic on the Five?
Well, nobody,
there are no wrecks except for the one here, sir. John.
And also her husband, the one who is always just sort of, I won't say quite trailing behind, but, you know, grabbed and gone. Like, that's kind of Michelle has to go to all these things, and Phil Hollows has to go with her. They make a great sort of the hot air balloon and the brick, you know, if you know that kind of metaphor for their relationship. But Philip Salzman, who is himself a very accomplished tech person and a dear friend and a wonderful guy, and occasionally gets confused for me by people who don't know any better.
It happens.
So the reason I wanted to have you both on today partially is because Michelle – you started all the data center stuff.
I'm sorry. Look, I'm just transparent. People are like, data center. I'm like, oh, yeah, we were talking about that. And then they're like, you're trying to kill us all. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is wrong?
So, yeah, so she's responsible. The reason we have to put up with this lunacy is Michelle, basically.
It's just a Facebook status.
It's okay.
Just a Facebook status. Right. There's no such thing as just a Facebook status anymore. But, Philip, you posted something the other day, and it's a little long to just read on the radio, but the short version was that when you had begun for years, you were anti-AI,
oh, yeah, of course,
which is where I am right now. I am hostile to artificial intelligence for all the reasons. And then you said, but over time, I became convinced that AI is a tool and it is the future. It is here. There's no fighting it. There's just a question of learning how to use it effectively. Talented people will use it to be more talented. And talented people who do not use it will fall behind. I would also say that untalented people will use it to give the illusion of talent.
Yeah, and it'll still break.
Which is a problem. But so that's what I want to talk about between you. I'm going to have plenty to talk about. So, Philip, what changed your mind on AI? Because the short version, okay, you know I view this, but my view is that AI is stealing or threatening to steal and replace everything about us that makes us human. And the kids who are growing up these days are not learning to read and write and think critically and be the sort of talented people that we want to use AI. They're just not becoming that because they're substituting education with AI, and it's a real danger for thriving humans. That's my view. That's my concern.
Well, yeah. So we still have to go through a learning curve on how to adapt to that, because it's only just been the last couple of years. The progression of the technology has just increased tremendously over the last, what, 3 years, four mm-hmm. years? Since GPT-3 really hit for public consumers to be able to use. And so we're still in the learning curve of how to do that. And unfortunately, we're coming out of the learning curve of how to deal with the, you know, lockdowns and COVID and everything else that kids went through just a few years before that, where they were stuck at home all the time.
Right.
Not able to go to school, or their classes were changed dramatically. So when it comes to the education side of it, it is a hot mess. It's absolutely nuts on how to do that.
Well, the number one issue I saw, what really drove my attention to AI and to data centers, and I mean, it all stemmed from touring top secret facilities and talking with our cybersecurity for our Navy and with other contractors and asking them, what can we do for you as a community? What can we do for, national security? What are your concerns? You know, and the number one thing was, we are so behind. And I know we don't talk about it as a nation, because obviously you don't want that on the airwaves, because you don't want your enemy to know that you're behind, although they know it. Basically, what we see is the other countries are using AI. They're using these platforms. They're creating these systems. And they don't have any rules. They don't have any rules of engagement. They don't have a constitution. They don't have rights of citizens like we do. So they can do pretty much whatever they want. Whereas in America, we've tried to keep in that framework of how we develop and infiltrate and, you know, do our operations as a security component. So we're not using a lot of those systems. We're not doing the same things that they're doing. We don't have that ability because we have constraints on how we operate. But those constraints on how we operate have constrained how we create our infrastructure. So we have postponed a lot of things in our infrastructure because of the way we believe and operate as a nation. And in doing so, other countries are far ahead of us. And that's why we have a war going right now that nobody ever talks about. The cyber war is real. Every day, every single day, countries are trying to get in our systems through your computer, through the cloud, you know, through the universe, you know, and how do you combat that? You have to have the ability to operate. And with that comes data centers to process the data centers to help you create and manage these systems that you're running. So when I toured them and they said that they can't use the same tools, they don't have those permissions because of who we are, that bothered me. And so
because there's no equivalent of, say, the Geneva Convention for cyber warfare.
Right.
And so they're doing whatever they want to do, and we're operating within constraints.
Right.
I want to come back to this in just a second. We've got Michelle and Philip Salzman here in the studio with me for the wrap. PJ has traffic on the 5.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. State Road 87 at Farrington and Milton. Roadblock there. Also, a vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock Pensacola Boulevard at Van Pelt. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, PJ. So back to Michelle and Philip Salzman. So, Michelle, I hear two different things, and I'm trying to reconcile them, and I don't know what the answer is. On the one hand, my perception is, like you say, you know, China and even Iran and North Korea and some of our other adversaries. Yeah, Russia, clearly, have very advanced cyber capabilities, and they don't have the sort of constraints that we have, and I believe that that's true. On the other hand, I hear the story that we have way more data centers than they have and that we are ahead, and that what they're trying to do is subvert American efforts to build infrastructure that they are essentially engaging in an intelligence operation against our vulnerable and easily misguided Democrat Socialists of America, who they've rallied up into a frenzy to go protest data centers as a form of cultural warfare, because they don't want us to even fall to parity. So which is it? Where are we?
Both of those are true.
Okay.
We may have more data centers, but they're like Google, or, you know, they're not government related.
They're not weaponized in our national defense.
Yeah, good. You're very articulate. I didn't even bring any notes. I just showed up with a phone. I don't care.
Is that your assessment too, Philip? Because this is kind of your industry, right?
Yeah, so it is. China especially, I mean, we might have more right now, but they have caught up very quickly.
And they have 10 times as many people as we have. Like, they have, well, not 10, but, you know, they have a lot more people than we have. They have an ability to scale up because of their system, their resources. They can just decide, we're going to do this and we're going to spend $1 trillion on it.
Yeah, so the biggest bottleneck in AI development and training and everything right now are power, the power infrastructure.
Okay.
And they are rolling out generators on flatbed trucks. They are building huge, like 10 megawatt generators, putting them onto container trucks and dropping them off at different facilities where they're building up data centers very quickly.
So they're doing now what they have been doing with Navy infrastructure and with missile defense, but with building the islands. They're thinking, in 20 years, we want to be here. here's what we have to do to get there. Let's do it.
A lot faster than 20 years.
And we're not doing that. And that's part of
And how
the
long
warfare.
Does it take us to build a power plant?
Forever.
To permit one, not even a nuclear, I mean, which we should be doing faster, but any power plant.
I do like nuclear power, but a whole other conversation. The idea is they see that we're trying to catch up as a nation as far as technology is concerned. They see, as you know, we're trying to bring manufacturing to the United States. We're trying to become more self-sufficient like we used to be. And they see that as an attack on the cyber warfare. If we become more independent as a nation in technology, then we are the upper hand again. So they are pretty...
Which, by the way, credit to President Trump. I mean, I give President Trump a lot of grief on a lot of things, but... He really is, across the board, finding ways to attack back against what China's been doing now for decades.
But have to.
And we have to. That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's a vulnerability, and eventually it'll catch up to us, and we won't be the United States anymore. But so they're creating these narratives intentionally and rallying. I mean, you have Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians. Everybody thinks the sky is falling with data centers, and that was not on accident. It's not an accident.
Like the AI, the flock cameras, the data centers, this is all an intelligence operation.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, absolutely.
The flock cameras are pretty bad, but yeah.
But that's been thrown into it, and that's easy to get people worked up about.
Because libertarians, big daddy government,
it's across the board.
So it kind of inherently happened. But this whole narrative, they've got stirred up. It's creating a frenzy, and people are fear that they fear what could happen. They don't most of the people, and you see it online, they start talking about data centers. They don't even know what they're talking about.
Right.
They just start spitting stuff out because they saw it on a post or somebody, their friend read it somewhere. Don't ask where they read it because it doesn't matter. They just read it somewhere.
On Reddit a lot of times.
Exactly. On Reddit.
Like the power thing, you know, where it's the law and also the practice is that they bring their own power. The water thing, the law and the practice is they bring their own water. Yep. In fact, typically they have to produce water as an output, if they do output it at all, that's cleaner than what they take in.
Exactly.
We're dealing with effluent, like Milton is trying to build a wastewater treatment plant, can't find a way to treat it to get rid of its effluent. Gosh, I don't know, if you had a data center in Milton, you'd solve that problem all around. But and if the future is these things, if the future requires this infrastructure, I don't want to ban it based on stupid arguments that were at least somewhat influenced by a foreign adversary who wants that outcome for us.
Yeah, I mean, not all of the arguments are stupid. They do have merit. And if the arguments were not there, if people were not saying, hey, this is a problem, hey, this is a problem, hey, this is a problem, then honestly, the tech industry and the construction industries would not be focused on, okay, so how do we not use water anymore?
They wouldn't be working on doing it right. Yeah.
Yeah. What do we need to do closed systems with glycerin cooling? What do we need to do? How do we... speed up the distribution and the creation of the submodular nuclear plants that we can just drop them in there, because power is the biggest problem. We're not getting a data center like that in Northwest Florida because we do not have the infrastructure.
Right.
FPL, you can't just take in something that uses an entire 12 neighborhoods worth of power and drop it in and expect it to work.
I can give you an example, very transparent, like I said before. When I was talking about data centers in the North End, and I was like, let's bring one here, let's do this, and I started meeting with FPL. I had conversations with a lot of folks. The number one issue was, how big is the data center? We can't do we can do one like for a hospital or for a university.
Which we have plenty of.
Right, but it was actually for IT, it was for cyber warfare is what the conversation I had at Corey Station. I mean, that resonated with me, and I was like, how can we continue the Center for Cybersecurity hub that we have in the Panhandle? Well, we have to be prepared infrastructurally to continue that, and so I started just having the conversation about data centers. How do we do it? Where can we build it? And the number one thing was, it can only be below, I think it was 20. It wasn't even 50.
Not even 50.
It was tiny. And it was actually all we need if we were to do something, because it's really only to create that training infrastructure so we continue to grow and develop the minds of the future for defense.
And by the way, the law that was passed
co-sponsored. Yeah. I co-sponsored it. Hello.
484, I think, is what it is.
Yeah, SB 484.
But that did go through some revisions. For example, in the late process, they dropped the ban on NDA. It was going to ban NDAs for this, and that got rid of it. There are some other things in there that are, I think, less vigorous. There was a distance provision. Yep. It was originally 5 miles from a house. That's absurd. But, you know, a mile or something like that might make some of that stuff got deleted as well.
Right.
The article I was reading the other day was, and I kind of shared it with you guys in case you hadn't seen it, was that the power companies were actually kind of thrilled with the outcome because this gave them a roadmap for what they can do, which is not the read a lot of people have taken on this. But I see the side of it you're talking about, the national defense side, the, you know, building for the future side. There's still that question in my mind of, yeah, but kids are using AI to cheat instead of learning how to reason. And people who
use that's lazy parenting, though, and government can never fix that.
But people who, like, I have spent a lifetime becoming good at language and learning, and I watch the meetings, and AI gets stuff wrong. AI, like, if I rely on AI to do what I would do to harvest information, I will not be as reliable as I am.
Of course.
And yeah. I also won't be as creative as I am. But the AI is as bad right now as it's ever going to be. It's only getting better. And that terrifies me.
And there are a lot of people out there who will be lazy and use it. And then, like you were saying, the people who are not qualified for it will still put out garbage in, garbage out. So, like,
the ability of the AI is a person. For example, you know, I have a 20th grade education, okay, grad school, right? I have a 20th grade education. Some people have a 10th grade education. A 10th grade education using AI can pretend to be a 17 or 18 or 20th grade. It amplifies, right? Mm-hmm. Not the same, not quite as good, at least not yet. Well, that terrifies me.
Yeah.
Well, you know what else terrifies me? That people can't write and read in cursive.
Yes.
I mean, we passed that law a couple of years ago, and people, like, lost their minds. I'm like, guys, our Constitution is written in cursive.
I can't write and read in
Hello?
Cursive. I'm terrible at it.
Guys, the moment the government has to tell you what your rights are is the moment you just lost all your rights.
PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries in Roblox, Pensacola Boulevard at Van Pelt. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right, so, Philip. Back to your original thing was you got persuaded that AI is a tool in the hands of the capable.
Yes, and it's
but it is interfering with the development of capability. That's my concern.
Yes, that is a true statement. Both of them are, but
and also, by the way, you need to be a native speaker if you're really going to use AI well. You can't be like me, 55, learning it. You got to learn it when you're 10. I get that too. Like, how do you have them become fluent in it without being corrupted and inhibited by
it? You mean
it.
Like prompt writing and how to properly use it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and that's going away fast, too. If you remember just a couple years ago, based on what you told it, it could come up with something completely different if your prompts weren't structured.
Okay.
But, I mean, I think those are smaller issues. I think we will get past that with, you know, detecting if something was written by AI is a great little tool that's coming out now.
They have that now, but they have to constantly revamp it because it, you know, the
AI gets better and the kids get smarter and right, you know,
you build
the wall, I'll build the ladder, right?
But and going back to like hallucinations and AI just making stuff up, we have an attorney in South Florida or Central Florida actually, who's also a politician, who gave all of his court papers to the judge, and it was AI written, and it created case law that didn't exist inside of the document.
And he didn't read it. He didn't proofread it. He turned it in.
He just turned it all in.
Even scientific papers. There have been some with fake studies.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And
then somebody reads that and believes it's real.
Right.
My biggest issue with all of this information warfare that we have is there's no real vetting of the information. People read one thing and they believe that to be true.
Right.
With no real research. But how do you research anymore?
Read every day. I read things online, and because it's my job to know enough to know it's false, I know it's false.
Right.
But there are not a lot of me's
out
there, and we don't necessarily have the level of influence or control or whatever. And, you know, people are like, well, we don't want fact checkers. By God, we need them. Oh, my God, do we need them? You know, so that's also the collective, the body of knowledge, the kind of institutional memory stuff is going away because we're outsourcing that to the memory of the internet or the memory of the AI. And that terrifies me.
Well, knee-jerk reactions are where all of that come from.
Right. That just brings me back to, I went to a neighborhood watch meeting recently, and there was one of those Escambia Citizens Watch major players, like one of the top fans that's always on there.
Okay.
And she has bashed me for years. I mean, since I filed to run 7 years ago. And I met her for the first time, and we had a wonderful conversation. I talked to her for over an hour, and I just thanked her over and over again. I said, you could pause on all of the nasty words that you say, all the name-calling, but the rest of it, I truly appreciate. That's what's wrong with America. If you were to ask me what's one of the number one downfalls, it's the inability to take criticism and the inability to communicate.
Right.
You know, and while we are not transferring thoughts and ideas from one person to another in a meaningful way in through dialogue on social media, it still creates the conversation, and that provides a level of accountability for actions of leaders in the community, politicians, you know, whoever you are. So I welcome that, and that's what we lose now in this information war, is the exchange of ideas between humans, and we're only exchanging ideas from articles or posts or I read it on you know, Insta, whatever. So
there's a lot of confirmation bias online. There's a lot of I share something because I read the headline and the headline confirms what I want to be true, and therefore we're done.
Exactly.
Instead of the deeper thinking about it. Man, we are totally out of time. We got like 10 seconds left. Phil, I want to give you the last word, but anything you want to leave people with?
Make the decisions at the local community. That's it.
All right. And know your leaders. Talk to each other. Be face-to-face with people. Be charitable. Try to listen. Try to take criticism. Michelle and Philip Salzman, thanks for what you do in office. Thanks for being here today to answer some questions and give perspective. I really appreciate it. All right, y'all. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Stream us at NewsRadio92.3.